Let us go over to Acts chapter 12, please. Acts chapter 12, an unusual prayer meeting. Acts chapter 12. And I'm glad you're here tonight because you believe in prayer. Amen. I'm glad you're here tonight because you believe in prayer.
Amen.
That's better. Yeah, there you're awake. Ah, very good. This chapter is a very interesting chapter. And I like the way the scriptures tell us the real story of what took place and tell us the real situation. Have a look here. We see in this chapter, in verse number 2 there, and he killed James, this is Herod, killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterns of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Isn't it interesting the word Easter is there? So this event took place around this time of the year. And Peter's now been placed in prison. He's in maximum security. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But I want you to note this, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing. And this Jerusalem church and these people were a people of prayer. It's good to be at Northside and find a people of prayer. Many, many opportunities for prayer meetings and to seek the Lord's face, half nights of prayer and so on. Prayer is so important and vital. And you know, it's very interesting to look around the countryside and even some what were once good churches now do not have the prayer meeting. One of the first things to go down is the prayer meeting and then the Sunday night service, and then things begin to die. The prayer meeting is essential. And we find that this Jerusalem church prayed about everything and they practiced prayer in its proper position. The prayer took place before, not during or after. And you find the great blessings in this book of Acts all come after the people of God have spent time in prayer. Question is, have you prayed about it? Pray about it before things begin happening. And so it's important to put the prayer in. And certainly they were praying for Peter who was in prison. Notice it says that the prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God under God for him. The whole church is praying. Now when we read further in the chapter, we'll be glad that the whole church was praying. Because there's a few believers that are at a prayer meeting, but we don't know what they're there for. And I don't know whether they really know what they're there for. I know one thing, young Rhoda knew what it was all about. Amen? That young lady that goes to the gate and hears the voice of Peter and yippee, got so excited she didn't even open the gate. She went running in. You know the story. And so it is interesting, isn't it, that the church had been praying to God for Peter. And you find them praying all the time. You find them praying before the church even got started in the book of Acts. You have a wonderful prayer meeting. Have a look in chapter 1 there. Chapter 1 for a moment. Chapter 1 and verse 14, there's a whole list of names of the early apostles there, and we see that in verse 14, these all continued with, what is it? One accord in prayer and supplication with the women. The sisters, they were there too, they can pray. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. So it's quite a group together there and they're praying. Prayer and supplication. Prayer is asking God and supplication is built together in the concept of pleading, an attitude of pleading and seeking God. They were looking for the Lord's grace and help. The Saviour had just left them, and now they were feeling a little lonely, perhaps, and a little unsure of what would happen, to wait there in Jerusalem, and that they would receive power, the power of the Spirit of God. And here the leadership and this close group were there in prayer, and they prayed for God's blessing and leadership. They had to select a new man to replace Judas. In verse 24, and they prayed. And you'll find that again and again through the book of Acts as you move through. They prayed. They prayed about everything. They prayed before the events took place. Before Pentecost, they were in prayer. They had prayed. It says daily they prayed. And so we find that they prayed daily and God blessed them and took them seriously, because they took God seriously. Do we take this matter of prayer seriously, or is it an optional extra? And do we just rush through our prayers and not make the most of our opportunities in prayer? It was after great praying that there was great preaching. It was after great praying there were souls saved. And the Lord moved mightily. Look at chapter 2 there, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in, what is it? Prayers. They were a people of prayer, amen? And that's how it should be. And that's what God wants us to be, a people of prayer. There are two sides to that. We need to ask God for his blessings, but also we need to be in an attitude of prayer. I mean, if the believers were not in an attitude of prayer, would they have really known what Pentecost was all about? And they were in an attitude of prayer. The Spirit of God came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were having a powerful witness right there. So there's examples one after another in the book of Acts of the prayers of God's people, and they're a praying church, a praying people. Be encouraged to be a praying church and a praying people. Sometimes we wonder what our prayers are doing, but they avail much. You know, God answers our prayer. Sometimes he answers with a no. Sometimes it may be a wait. And he will lead us and guide us in that. Sometimes we ask amiss and we need to seek his face so that we can get in tune with God and know what we really should be praying. But this indeed, this Jerusalem church, a powerful church, a prayerful church, a soul-winning church, a church that stood greatly for the Lord. Now, another thing, even though they were praying and they were seeking the Lord, they were not delivered from persecution. Sometimes we think that because we pray, we will not have to suffer persecution. Nothing will ever go wrong. I remember being in a prayer meeting once as a young Christian and hearing this youth leader pray, "Lord, I pray that everything will go smoothly. I pray that the young people would be, you know, good, and we'd have a good day and we'd have good things and it would all be good." And sometimes it ain't so good, amen? You're not sure, some of you sitting there having your midweek snooze. Now, don't be mean, Pastor. But you know what I mean. I'm just having, I do have a sense of humour. It's a bit weird, it's true. You know, but, and it's my German heritage. Blame it on that. But anyway, let us go over to the 12th chapter again, and just for some lessons from there. And I'm not bringing this lesson because I don't think you're praying. I know that you're praying. I love to get together on Saturday morning too and pray. And it's great to have that, the prayer clock. I don't, I'm lazy and don't write my name on the list. But I'm in prayer last thing Saturday, as I always have been, in prayer, finishing the day as pastors do in prayer for the day that is to come. So we find them in prayer. Peter's locked up and they're praying without ceasing. And that's something that we need to learn. We need to learn to pray without ceasing. We need to be able to do at least two things at once. Whatever our services and our prayer, we need to learn to do that and redeem the time, because the days are evil. So we see that they were having the prayer meeting in one of the homes. And God has blessed over the years cottage meetings where believers gather in the home. And we enjoyed that at the end of that COVID lockdown. We enjoyed the home meetings that we got to know folks in. That was a blessing. A good home meeting. And this is really what was happening here in chapter 12. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews." God had delivered him. I was reading about this guy who was in jail under Hitler. And God said to him, "Today you are leaving this prison." God said, "Today you are leaving the prison." So he said, "Yes, Lord." He walked down to the first gate and he says, "The highest has said I'm to leave this prison." They opened the gate to him. that first ward gate, they opened that. He went through. He went to the main gate. "The Almighty has said I am to leave today." And they said, "Oh, great. Okay, you can leave." So he did that all the way to the border. And he said at the border, when they were, "Where are you? Where do you think you're going?" "Over this border stop. The Almighty has said I am to leave today." And they let him through. Well, he was talking about the Almighty God. That's who he was talking about. He was in prayer and the Lord had led him. And those other silly people thought he was talking about the Almighty Hitler, because he liked people to call him Almighty and bow down in reverence towards him. And they thought he was talking about it, but it was the Lord that delivered him. And I thought that was interesting in modern times. God is still powerful and he can do great and wonderful things in answer to the prayers of his children. So keep on praying. And so they're in this prayer time and the other believers were praying as well. And the angel came, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Wake up, it's time to get out of here. Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off in his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto them, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Peter marched out of that prison house that day with the angel of the Lord opening the way for him and blessing him. Look at verse number 11. "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" This was a work of God. And Peter was excited at what God had done, and we should realize that our prayers can set people free. They can set sinners free. They can reach around the globe for God's glory and cause great things to happen in other places. And so we should be a people of prayer. Now, Peter was excited. God's men, you know, will be picked on by the devil. God's men will be picked on by the authorities. God's preachers' families will suffer difficult things from time to time. The devil doesn't like preachers, amen. He didn't like Peter either. That's why he had him locked up in this way. And yet Peter When the Lord was leading him out, he followed. He was led out, and God blessed him. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Oh, this is wonderful, wasn't it? They were gathered together. The place was full of praying people. Oh, my word, they were praying, and Peter was hoping that the Lord would answer their prayers, and the Lord did, and the people were praying away. They were intent. I believe that they were so intent in prayer that they weren't really maybe in touch with reality. We need to keep in touch with reality when we're praying, and pray real prayers, not just dreaming or imagining, but really seeking the Lord. Well, there was a knock at the door. Peter knocked at the door. The damsel came, Rhoda, a young damsel. She had faith, this girl. She believed in what they were praying for. Don't discourage the faith of the young people. Encourage them to pray. The faith of a child is wonderful. And what they believe is great. And God can work through that. And use that to encourage the old-time prayers. They keep on with their praying. So Rhoda got excited. She ran inside and said it was... she was sure it was Peter out there. And what did they say? Now, where's that verse? 15, thanks. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad, Rhoda, you're crazy. What are you saying, Peter? You're crazy, the man's locked up in jail." Hold on a minute. They were thinking in the past tense, amen. They hadn't really adjusted. What was wrong? Something wrong there. Peter continued knocking, and then when he did come in, they were astonished. Now let me tell you, when you pray about things, believe. Believe your prayer. Believe what you're praying. And God will work amazingly in answer to the prayers of his children. I'm glad that the whole church was praying, but this house meeting, there were some people that were wavering. And look what James says in chapter 1 and verse 6, James 1, 6. Just quickly, a few verses here. Nothing new tonight. Nothing new, but an encouragement and motivation to keep on praying. Things happen when you pray. Great things take place. Prayer precedes the great things. Prayer should punctuate the life of the church in all things. Chapter 1 and verse number 6 of James. But let him ask in faith. Let's try it again. But let him ask in faith. Amen. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These people, some of these people were obviously in this condition. They were wavering. Well, we'll pray, but, you know, we've already lost a few preachers. Maybe we're going to lose Peter. Who knows? What do you want God to do? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ask. Ask and ye shall receive. 1 Peter 5:9. And by the way, I don't see in the prayers of the early church there in the book of Acts anyone praying for the end of the persecution. Do you notice that? And the persecution doesn't go away. It's still there. But it drives the believers to their knees. And what you see them in those prayers is asking for God's presence, asking for God's blessing, asking for God's strength, asking for comfort and boldness to stand in the midst of this trouble. And we find that the Lord is able to answer the prayers of his children. in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9. In the spiritual warfare, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see that this is the encouragement to pray that we need. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, Matthew 8:26, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he had to instruct them in the how-to in their prayers. Chapter 8 and verse number 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak word to those whom I have heard. What am I reading? I should be reading chapter 8, verse 26. Ah, no wonder I can't get that right. I'm in John chapter 8. Jesus said, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? And I think we get the message there, don't we? But the thing is that these people were misguided. Many of these people were misguided in their prayers, and their prayers were not availing, and they weren't believing. Are you a believing believer? Don't be an unbelieving believer. Really, when you pray, believe. Now, God is able to decipher what is necessary in our prayers, but we find that prayer is essential. What a praying church the early church was. What a persecuted church. But what powerful preaching and wonderful salvations were taking place through that. Go to chapter 13. The missions incentive came from this area as well. Look at chapter 13. Don't forget your missionaries that are labouring in different parts of the world. They certainly need your prayers, and with COVID they are greatly in need of your prayers, as all God's preachers are. In chapter 13, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. They were sent out in prayer, and they were supported in prayer. They were supported, the ongoing prayerfulness. So it is that we need to learn to trust God in our prayers and not be half-hearted, unbelieving, and otherwise discouraged or deflected from things that are going on. So Peter came, he testified to them, they were blessed and they were rejoicing. God had truly answered their prayers. So keep a tab on that. When God answers your prayers, keep a tab on it, mark it down, keep a diary. Get excited about what God does. God answers prayers, and your prayers are as important as anyone else. Rhoda's prayers were as important as anybody. She's just a young person. So keep on praying and be encouraged in your prayers in this day and age. May God bless you. Thank you.